The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" Whoever listens to you, listens to me, and whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. As we catch up with Jesus today in Luke chapter 10, we see that his mission is expanding. Jesus has now taken 70 more under his wing and is sending them out in 35 pairs to go out everywhere that he intends to go, to prepare the way, to plant seeds, and to remind people that the kingdom of heaven has come as near to them as it ever will. Jesus does not candy coat his mission. He lets them know that they are lambs going out into the midst of wolves, meaning they may be received more as a meal than with a meal. And yet he couples that image with a description of what they are to carry on their journey. The resources that they are to take with them are nada, nothing. Jesus wants them to be so nimble and to rely on the resources and the hospitality of the people whose towns they will enter. You know, as Christians, we spend a lot of time talking about hospitality in the church, working on our hospitality so that when people enter into our facilities and our sanctuary, they feel welcomed. And that is important work. But perhaps we need to consider more what it means to us to receive the hospitality of others. Perhaps we should be spending more time in our communities, relying on the hospitality of others and receiving their hospitality graciously. Jesus told the 70 that when they got a place, when they got to a place and they were welcome, they should stay at that place. They should eat the food that was put in front of them, and they shouldn't go shopping for a better bed and breakfast. Now, you and I know the importance of eating the food that's offered to us. We were probably taught that as children. It is in eating what another has cooked that we share a most common humanity, and that opens the door for whatever else may connect us and stirs the pot of deeper conversations. I heard this past week of a man who was in the midst of Palestinians in 2006, there on a mission trip of sorts, during a time when the Palestinians were in extreme poverty, and yet they were very hospitable, which is a hallmark of their community. In that visit to the West Bank, members of his team were invited to a meal. And a couple of them who were on his team were vegetarians. And they expressed that, but the way in which it was interpreted was that they didn't eat red meat. So the family went to great pains to make sure that they cooked a feast of chicken for them instead of lamb or some other red meat. Now that created a dilemma. Those couple of people haven't eaten meat in 7 years. But that night they ate chicken. It was more important for them to honor the hospitality of the host family than to insist on refraining from the consumption of meat. In a World Community cookbook called Extending the Table, in the foreword of this cookbook is a story of two North Americans traveling to Argentine Chaco, sitting under a tree and talking with Solustiano Lopez, a Toba Indian church leader. Paul Longacre and his wife Nancy's interest was to seek his counsel on how North American mission and service organizations should work in the years ahead. We asked how, in Argentina or neighboring countries, he would share the gospel with other indigenous people who do not have churches among them. Salustiano paused for a moment and then responded, "I would go and eat their food." He began to weep, and the missionary couple, who were our translators, wept with him, Paul said. He and Nancy were overcome with his simple but powerful response. They knew that these 40-year missionaries and their colleagues had acknowledged the dignity of the indigenous people of the Chaco by eating their food, sleeping in their houses, and recording their languages. Jesus knew how powerful the spread of the kingdom would be if his people would go and get their feet dirty, going into the towns and homes of others, eating what was set before them, building bridges to a deeper fellowship in the gospel. Perhaps we might rethink our current Christian vocation on the basis of the sending of the 70. What if our mindset was not simply to prepare the homeless a meal, but to sit down and eat it with them? What doors might that open? How might that change our understanding of the challenges that they face, their gifts, their humanity? And what would it look like for our men's ministry as we are seeking to serve a meal to Palmetto Bay police officers this September, to use that meal as a chance to dine with them and to hear their hurts and their hopes, both personal and professional? I want you to think about those houses where you may be a guest during the coming few months. Who within those households may truly benefit from a sense that God has come near because of your visit, your interested ear, your lack of looking down your nose at them, your sharing the peace of Christ with them? How might you prepare for those visits? What might you take along? What might you leave behind? It's interesting that despite the warning of rejection that his disciples may experience, the 70 came back excited for what they'd experienced, participated in his saving and healing work. Jesus said he saw Satan fall like lightning every time the people rejoiced to receive them, every time they gave sight to the blind, every time they proclaimed release to the captives, every time they declared the year of the Lord's favor. Satan fell to the ground. Jesus' reign is here. The adversary is losing ground all over the place, and we rejoice that we get to have a hand in it. And we pray for the day when what has begun with the Lamb being slain, having begun his reign, will come together in a glorious, beautiful culmination. Jesus notes to the 70 and to us as well, if we see success in our adventures, let's not let our heads get puffed up like a pool toy, but rejoice in the Holy Spirit, the God who is with us will never let us go. And that is what we share with our neighbor. That is our message for them. Now come to the table and taste the mercy that God has set aside for you and for you to share. Amen.